And welcome back to Microsoft Desktop Virtualization. Corey Hines, Kyle Rosenthal. You can reach us on Twitter at Hull Systems at Windows PC Guy, correct?
Yep, that's correct.
And so we're getting ready to move on to our next module here.
So let's go ahead and dive into Module 7 then, which is the working with application virtualization. And in particular within here, what we're now looking at is going to look at, this is our last of our modules, which relates to what we build on top of the desktop, the virtual desktop. And so with application virtualization, as we've discussed before in previous modules, and like sort of as the introduction is it's another way of being able to do application delivery in a really light method. And the idea with that, with application virtualization in this case, AppV is what we'll refer to it as, it's just another way to be able to get the applications out. Now, previously we've looked at remote app. And with remote app, we were very conscious of the fact that we had to have network connectivity in order to be able to continue to be able to use the application. With AppV, that's not the case. With AppV, what we have is we've got the ability to be able to use an application, even if there is no actual connection to the network at the time. Now, we have to have had it installed to start off with. And there's a couple of different delivery methods that we've got from within there. One of those does require network connectivity to start off with. And that's just simply if we're using AppV to be able to publish out the application. However, equally, if we want to be able to give someone the ability to run an application and they've got no network connectivity at all, then we can actually give them effectively an MSI file, an installable file, to be able to install their AppV application. Now, in the case of VDI, that's never going to be the case. With VDI, we're always going to be using our publishing method to be able to distribute out our applications. And the idea being that if we stand up, say, a pooled desktop, which is a completely blank desktop every time that someone comes in, different users, when they log on, will be given different applications. So we want to be able to send out to them in that really light fashion the applications that they need to use at the time that they need to be able to use it. And that's the idea of being able to use using AppV in our VDI sort of environment. So let's move on. First off, what I want to do is I want to actually show you what it looks like. We've seen before what the remote app looks like when it runs, and we've been able to sort of identify, we were doing before we did our game of shells to be able to determine which application was running within a remote app and which one was running as a full app. With this one, there is no way to be able to tell it by looking at it. It's just simply there's no shortcut. There's no obvious way to be able to see it. I'll show you how you can determine it, but it's really, there's nothing obvious on the application to be able to see it. So I said, let's have a look, see what an AppV application actually looks like. And then what we'll do is we'll then have a look at how to actually publish it. So I've got a application that I've already published out, and that application that I've published out, it's Notepad +++. So when I run the application, it's just simply run as a normal application. Like, I don't have to do anything extra to be able to do it. It's just simply, it appears in my, in the start screen. I can do a search for it as I would normally do. I can also do anything else to be able to sort of make it a normal sort of, basically it looks like a normal app when it runs. Okay, so as I said, when you look at this, there's no obvious way to be able to see that it's not a local application running. And for all intents, in all intents and purposes, it is actually currently running locally, but it's the delivery method that's changed. So if we have a look at the actual properties of it, if I go to Notepad +++ and I have a look at the properties of it, you'll be able to see in there that the shortcut to it is slightly different from what it would be if it was a traditional application. If it was a traditional application, where we're actually starting it from is not going to be in the AppV folder. And that's really your only obvious bit, that it's not an application that's running, that's locally installed. As I said, otherwise it's actually running and looking as though it is installed. Now, the other thing that I can do is I could have a look at the application virtualization tool to be able to see what actual applications I have available. And in this case, I can see I've got Notepad +++ that's available to be able to use. So that's kind of my only way to be able to determine what's actually available and what's not available. So what are the components that make this up? And we'll kind of dive into some of these, like to show you, say for instance, how to actually publish an application, how to be able to see what it looks like, how to sequence an application and get those applications in place. But what are the components that we've got? So there's the management server. And basically what that does is that gives us the overall sort of management facility. Now what the management of it does is it gives us the ability to be able to control all of the management infrastructure. But to be honest, it's not required. It's required, certainly in our VDI environment, it's required because it's our central nervous system, if you like. It's our central control environment. However, from AppV, it's not required for us to be able to use. We do need to have a publishing server. The publishing server, and again, if we're using VDI, we're going to have this in place. And what that is basically a way to be able to distribute out the applications. And it goes over a HTTP or HTTPS to be able to do the distribution of the applications. And what it does is it does the distribution term that we use in AppV is called streaming. So we stream the applications out onto the local boxes for them to be able to run, or into our virtual desktops to be able to run. It doesn't really require anything apart from being able to have IIS installed, obviously, to be able to do the HTTP support. And there's a couple of other sort of prereqs that we'll discuss in a moment. We also have a reporting server that we might need. Now, the reporting server is really used if we're going to be doing, well, as you'd expect, reports, right? So what the reports do is they give us the ability to be able to see what applications are in use, who's actually downloaded them, and that sort of thing. The idea with that, maybe that's how we keep a track of, say, for instance, licensing requirements, usage data, that sort of thing. That's what we'll cover within there. And the other piece to the puzzle to actually get the applications running is the AppV client itself. Now, what the AppV client itself does for us is that gives us the ability to be able to run those applications locally. And essentially what it does is it's controlling, going and talking to the publishing server and going, okay, so is there another application available for me? Are there updates to the applications that are available? And do I need to pull those down locally? And that's the beauty of using AppV over, say, for instance, a locally installed application, is that we can do upgrades to be able to push out new versions of an application really easily. So, say, for instance, as you're transiting from, from V1, V2, V3 of an application, or, upgrades, patches, that sort of thing, we can push those out using the AppV client. So it's a really nice and simple way to be able to deliver applications very cleanly. Now, the really good thing with this is that, say, for instance, if I have an application which I then want to unpublish or essentially remove from the desktop, when I do that, there's no remnants left behind. If you traditionally go to uninstall an application, the issue that you have with doing that is that when you go to do the uninstall, there's always little bits left over that then might cause you issues from having other applications run. So therefore, we want to be able to try and have it as clean as possible, and that's where AppV comes in handy. Now, with AppV, by default, we kind of keep everything separate. So therefore, we can have different versions of the same application running side by side if we need to. So we don't need to do that upgrade if we don't want to. It could be a side by side applications. But we can also package them up so they actually do talk to each other. We'll discuss that sort of putting into groups and that sort of thing to be able to make that happen. So what sort of things do we need to have? Well, from the client perspective, it's pretty light, really. Now, I say light. We've got in there, .NET Framework 4.0 and Windows PowerShell as a client prereqs. Now, that's actually pretty light if we're using Windows 8 or Windows 8.1 machine. The reason being because they're already included in the box. We don't have to do anything else. But it is something to consider if we're using, Windows 7 for our desktop for our virtual desktops. Then we need to make sure that we've got those prereqs already installed on the local our base VHD that we're using for our VDI. From the server perspective, essentially it depends which server it is that we're looking at. From the management server and the publishing server, essentially they've got the same base requirements as the client, so therefore have to have .NET Framework and Windows PowerShell. And again, with those, if we're using Server 2012 or above, already included, we're already covered with that, so therefore we don't have to worry about it. We'd also do have to have some IIS components as well as Visual C++ 2010 SP1 redistributable package, and in that case we're also doing the x86 and the 64-bit version as well. As well as the 64-bit, you know, ASP.NET registration, and have access to a SQL database. Now, it doesn't have to be locally installed, but we do have to have access to a database to be able to hold the management data into. Okay, and same with the publishing server. The publishing server has to be able to talk to that SQL database. Now, we only need that if we start scaling it out, right? So, if we're just simply doing as we start doing a VDI, if we're just doing local app V, like say, for instance, if you start playing around with this to build packages, that sort of thing. You can do build packages locally without having to need any of that sort of any of the SQL database or anything like that. One of the other requirements that we need to have, particularly for the publishing server, is we need to have Silverlight available. Now, the reason we need Silverlight is because the publishing console runs in it's a web app that runs in Silverlight. From the database perspective, essentially we need to have .NET Framework 4.0. We also need to have a SQL Server installed and have all the configuration that would go along with doing a SQL Server installation. So therefore, you know, what we need to be able to supply across the management server is the data, the details for the database. So say, for instance, you know, what the database logons are, making sure we've got an instance available, making sure we've got permissions to it, and that sort of thing. The other thing that we might need is we might need a reporting server, in which case, obviously, we need to have access to the database. We also need to have, you know, the basics of the .NET framework, the C++ SP1 redistributable package to be able to leverage off as well. Now, the really good thing is that with App V, as you start scaling out, yes, you can start adding on additional servers. But to start off with, you know, if you're just, you know, dabbling, dipping your toe into the water of App V and testing to see if it's going to work for you, you can actually do all this from a single server. Okay. The only thing really that you might need to look at scaling out or putting onto separate servers, things like, say, for instance, the publishing server, as you start getting more and more concurrent demands. And the reason being because we're going to have more and more requests onto that one box. Okay, so that's the reason why we might sort of look at separating. But certainly to start off with, you're quite legitimate, quite supported to be able to put everything onto the single machine. So let's have a look at the application virtual console, virtualization console, or the AppV console, and see what it actually looks like. And here's one that I prepared earlier. Okay, quickly log back on. Okay, so this is what the AppV console looks like, and essentially, as I said, it's a Silverlight console. So therefore, you know, I've got my overall look to see, what the health of the environment is. I've also got the ability to then see what packages are currently in there, and you'll notice that there's Notepad++, which is the one that I was leveraging off before to be able to see what's available. I can see what servers I'm currently using, and currently there's only one publishing server that's available, but I could go and register new servers if I needed to. And I can look to see, you know, what overall roles and that sort of thing are available for me as well. So that's the console to be able to work around. It's pretty simple to be able to navigate your way through. It's pretty obvious from the perspective of how we actually get things up and running. So say, for instance, if I wanted to add in a new package, then what I could do is actually go and find, and this is one that I've prepared earlier, and you'll notice that what the package contents are, like say for instance this one, which is Firefox, there's a couple of different files that are in there, and we're going to discuss those more in depth shortly, what they are. The one I'm going to select though to be able to import though is the AppV package. I can add that to the console. And I can add multiple ones at the same time. Like say, for instance, if you're doing this as a first publish, you can actually select multiple files to be able to import. And the important thing is that by default, when it first comes in, nothing's published. So therefore, you'll see this one has a status of being unpublished. Okay. So with unpublished ones, by default, there's nothing there, like no one has access to it. So it gives me a chance to be able to do setups and that sort of thing before I actually start doing any more work. And I can then go and add in additional access. So, say for instance, I want to put in the corp domain users, and I'm going to grant them access. Okay, so they now have access to that particular application. However, it's still not going to show up for them until I publish it. And again, I can go and add in multiple groups and that sort of thing if I need to put it into there. But then to publish it out, it's just simply a matter of clicking on publish. Now it's published out. So what'll happen is then the next refresh on the client perspective, that'll then appear as being an application that's available for it to be able to use. Okay. So for the packages, like, so what sort of things are we going to be doing within there? So for the packages themselves, they're available. Basically what we do is we create the packages. We create the packages using a sequencer machine. And what the sequencer does, the sequencer gives us the ability to be able to create those packages. And when it creates the packages, there's a whole bunch of files that get created. The first one is the MSI file. Now with the MSI file, in a VDI environment, we really don't use that very much, simply because it's designed to be able to do an installation of that file. So they say, for instance, if we're doing a local distribution, that's where we would use the MSI file. The other sort of file from the perspective of getting AppV up and running is the actual virtual application file, and that's the .appv file. And that's the important one that we actually do the import of, as I just saw before. And the two sort of other files that we use for configuration, there's a deployment configuration file and a user configuration file. And essentially what they do is that then is read by the client, application, to be able to then put things into place and also determine how things are going to launch. And it's also where we'll do things like have the configuration as to whether things are actually going to be talking to each other and how the local application interaction is going to be. And if we're doing launches of, say, for instance, you run a click on a docx file, that opens up your virtualized version of Word. That's the sort of thing that we're going to determine as part of the deployment configuration file. And the other file that's in there is the report XML file. And this is really just to be able to see, when you go to create a sequence, application and the package, if something went wrong, this is where you look to be able to see. So it's just an XML file that gives some records about what actually occurred within the application when it got published. There's another piece of terminology to make sure you're aware of is the connection group. Okay, so connection groups are one of those things that give us the ability to be able to link applications. So as I mentioned, app the applications by default don't talk to each other, right? So if that's the case, then what we want to do is we want to be able to make sure, if we've got applications that we do want to have talk to each other, then this is where we put it in. We use a connection group in order for that to happen. If you have an application such as, you've got an add-on for Excel as an example. If we've got an add-on for Excel, I can just simply publish that add-on and have it interact with the local version of Excel. But what about if I have an add-on for Excel such as PowerMap, and I'm also sequencing Excel as an AppV application as well? Now, if that's the case, then what I need to do is I need to link the two together so that when the two applications get pushed out, that they'll then talk to each other. Otherwise, they won't. Otherwise, they'll just simply ignore each other, and PowerMap frankly won't know what to do with itself because it only runs within Excel as an add-on, right? So therefore, it'll just, I don't know. So therefore, we need to make sure that they do talk to each other. So that's what the connection groups give us the ability to do, is to be able to create packages of a group of applications or a group of packages to be able to push out onto a desktop. Another feature of AppV that's particularly relevant for our VDI environment is this idea of this thing called a shared content store. And what the shared content store gives us the ability to do is it means that we don't have a local cache of all the applications. Now, what I mean by that is that by default with AppV, what we'll try to do is we'll try to actually cache locally onto the machine applications for them to be able to run. So the idea is it then means that whilst it'll take a little bit longer to run the first time, simply because we have to cache everything down, it then means that we've got everything stored locally. So the next time we go to run the application, we're just simply accessing it locally. Now, in a VDI situation, that's not going to necessarily be a benefit to us. So what we try to do is we try to move where the cache is, so it's not actually caching locally, but instead we're actually going to access it directly from a shared piece of a shared content store. Now with a shared content store, then it means that we're not caching any of the application locally. We're instead streaming it directly from the application. So from the share, and then it means that we then have, like, we don't have to wait for the application to pull down before it starts, because everything's going to be running remotely. So basically we're just pulling down the bits that we need to be able to run, and then it means that we're not going to be blowing out the storage size on our local machine. And you know, obviously within a VDI environment, particularly within a pooled environment, a pooled storage, we don't want to keep on constantly, you know, having to pull everything down every time that we go to run. Because, well, there's no real use in that, because at the end of each session, we're going to destroy it anyway. So therefore, you know, why keep on blowing out the VHD? Instead, have it so that it then just simply streams on demand. From a non-VDI perspective, the reason why we might do this is that if we've got an application that gets constant upgrades, then, you know, it's easy to be able to do an upgrade if we're running from a shared content, because there's not, like, you know, in past, you might have had issues with the local cache being effectively marked as read-only while applications were being used. So therefore, upgrades might have been a bit of a pain. Whereas, like, with using the shared content store, we get around that because it's all running from the share as such. So it makes it a little bit easier. There's a couple of ways to be able to put this in place, because it's not by default. By default, if you go to install the app vCliente, by default, it just simply does the cache locally. So there's three different ways to be able to do it. There's two that are really useful from a scripting perspective, and one that's not so much. I'll deal with the one that's not so much to start off with. There's a registry key to be able to modify that will change this for you. So you can actually use that to be able to do the change. However, the two more practical ways for if you're starting to scale this out is not doing a reg hack. Instead, it's actually using a PowerShell command. So there's a PowerShell command, which is the set app v client configuration. And what it does, like what we do from there, is just basically change the shared content store mode to one. And what that does is then mean that it's a shared content. Otherwise, if we run, like when we go to do the installation, so if you're scripting the installation of the app v client setup, so say for instance you're distributing it using Configuration Manager as an example, then what we'll do is we'll use the shared content store mode equals one as the parameter to be able to pass to then mean that that's going to be how we do our install. So that's the two things to be able to kind of to concern yourself with, and how to be able to do that install. The other thing that we need to make sure we've got our head around with regards to getting app v up and running is the app v sequencer. Okay, so I've kind of alluded to this a few times, that sort of the app v sequencer, it's how we create the packages, and you know, it's a way to be able to get your applications ready to be able to do a deploy, or to be able to deploy using app v. And it gives us the ability to create the app v package for either local distribution, so using the MSI file, or alternatively importing it and using the distribution that we were looking at before, using the package, or distributing using the distributions, the app v package distributions server. So being able to bring it into the console and use that. So there's three different types of applications that we can pull in, and it really depends on what your application is as to what selection you're going to use when we go to run the wizard to be able to put this in. And it is all wizard-based to be able to do it. So the first one is a standard application. So say, for instance, if I'm doing a standard application, you've got a normal app that just simply is a desktop application to be able to run. We can use this to be able to push that out, to be able to capture. There's another one, which is the add-on or plugin. So say, for instance, if there's something which is an addition to an application that's already installed. And so, say for instance, an add-on for Outlook as an example. If I've already got Outlook installed on the desktop as part of my installation, then I want to have an add-on for that, then what I need to do is I need to sequence over the top of an existing installation of Outlook. So, and therefore, you know, I can then distribute out just simply that plugin. Or alternatively, something like a middleware. So middleware, you know, we're referring to something that's used by different applications to be able to communicate to each other, or used by applications to be able to leverage off. So say, for instance, Java is a really good example of a middleware application that you might want to sequence to be able to then push out as an app v application. So when you're going to put this in, then make sure you do a, like you've got a clean installation of your operating system to be able to run from. For if you're running, if you're doing a package of a standard application. So what I mean by that is that, say for instance, if we've got if we're going to package, you know, one of your line of business applications, what you want to do is have it so that the machine itself is a clean version, and effectively the what your SOE looks like, you know, so what your standard operating environment looks like, to be able to then package over the top of. And the idea being that, that then it's not going to be relying on, say for instance, additional plugins, additional add-ins that might be on a box that's been used for a while, to then hopefully make sure that it's not going to be, you know, we're not going to be able to, when we go to do the application deployment, so using the package, that package isn't going to be relying on something that doesn't exist. Remember from like sort of one of the previous sessions with my explanation of AppV, that what AppV does, like when AppV looks, when the AppV application runs, it doesn't know it's a virtual application. So what it's doing is it effectively looks down through the layers of the AppV package for, you know, any of the registry settings, the file settings, that sort of thing, looks down at the operating system. And when it looks down, it basically sees everything as it would do if it was running as a normal sort of standard app. So therefore, if there is something that was running on the sequencing machine that doesn't exist when you go to deploy out, if that was something that was being relied on by that particular application, then it will fail to run because it, you know, it wasn't there. It might be something that if you had gone to install it, if it was a clean install, that it would work because part of the application running to do the installation, which is what the sequencer looks at, it would have then picked up, oh, when I go to install, these are the bits that I need to have in place, so therefore this is what I need to deploy out. The exception to that is that, say, for instance, if we're doing a plugin or an add-in, so the example of using Outlook or Excel and a plugin for that, if we're doing that, if Excel or Outlook or whatever it is you're doing the plugin for is actually part of your standard operating environment, then that's what you do your deployment, that's what you do your sequencing over. So therefore, you know, you're sequencing with the application in place that you're then going to then do your publish across. So the sort of the steps to be able to do your an application sequence. So the first thing is, as I said, have a clean operating system. And one of the things that I generally do is I generally will do this within a virtual machine with a snapshot. And the idea of that, a virtual machine with a checkpoint, to use the latest terminology, is that we can then do a rollback to a clean state if we need to be able to do it. So the rollback of the clean state then means that I don't have to keep on thinking about what have I installed, what was left behind from the previous application that I did. So therefore, clean OS all the time, roll back to the previous checkpoint. So to be able to do it, basically what we do is start off with a clean OS. Start the sequencer application. What the sequencer application will then do, we'll use that to be able to then launch off the application. And then essentially what it does is it tracks and it starts off the application and the sequencer takes a snapshot of what it looks like to start off with, of what the OS looks like, runs the installation, and then once the installation's complete, it looks at the differences and it says, well, when I started off, it looked like this. When I finished, it looked like this. So what's the differences? And the difference is what is then packaged up into our package that we can then do a deployment with the reliance that, well, if that's the difference, well, that's all I need to put in place to be able to make this application run. And then what we do is save the package away, save the package into either, you know, like into a share to be able to do as put out as a publish, or alternatively put to do as a, like to be able to do as a local install using the MSI file. Okay, so let's have a look to see what sequencing an application actually looks like. And so I have a sequencer machine. So with the sequencer machine, basically what I've done is I've started off, just need to have the, wait for it to reconnect. So here's my application virtualization sequencer. I've already started up the application. This is a clean Windows 8 box. And essentially like what I do is I just simply go to create a new application. Okay, so what am I doing? I'm creating it using a package to start off with. Now, the creating of the package using to start off with or using a package accelerator, the package accelerator, this package accelerators are available to be able to shortcut the process. And effectively, it means that we've already got an application which has been created from, that's been packaged already. And we kind of leverage off that. It's outside of what we're talking about within here, but certainly there's a lot of resources that are available for it. I'm going to ignore the preparation details about the Windows Defender or Windows Search for the moment. Ideally, if you know, if we're doing this in a completely clean environment, we might look at turning off Defender, particularly if you know if it's a machine that's not connected to our network at all. And then what sort of application? Remember, we discussed this previously. I'm just going to do a standard application for the moment. And I'm going to run my install. And what I'm going to do is actually just recreate that package that we created before, that I've got created already to be able to do our Notepad, or the Notepad++. Okay, so what am I going to call this? This one's going to be called... And where am I going to place this into? I'm actually going to put it into the install. Ideally, what we do is we put it into like, you know, program files, that sort of thing. It's one of the changes that's been put in to... I'll just do this because I can't do two things at once, apparently. One of the changes between previous versions previous versions of AppV and now is that with previous versions of AppV, the installation used to go into a Q drive, so it was a separate drive that got installed. In this case, what we're doing is we're actually putting it into a drive that we know about for us to be able to then look at afterwards. But when it gets distributed out, it'll then be placed into the drive that it's going to normally appear in. And the good thing is that sort of by not using the Q drive, which previous versions of AppV have had, it then means that it's probably more flexible for a lot of corporate environments that might have already had Q drivers as a used environment. So basically what happens is we just simply have appv run, and what it does is it then runs the installation for us, right? So what it's done so far is it's actually done the snapshot, it's then doing the install, it's looking to see how the installation's going. We would then install this as we would normally install it with whatever else that we might want to have, you know, whatever configuration you might want to have, particularly for your line of business applications. There's probably a particular configuration you want to have. Okay, take off the Run Notepad for the moment. So it's finished the installation. Now, what happens when we go to finish the installation? One of the things that we want to do is we want to make sure that we have, that we run any additional things that are going to be required for it. Okay. In our case, we don't need to for Notepad++, but certainly, you know, if there was particular applications that I needed to have, which were additional apps that I wanted to have as part of the same package, I could do that. In this case, I've finished doing my installation. And then what it's doing now is it's looking to see what actually has changed during my install. Now, the good thing is that, say, for instance, if the installation required a reboot, not an issue whatsoever, it would simply, you know, reboot for us. Okay. Then what I need to do is I need to do the run to be able to run the application. Now, what that does is if there's any sort of, you know, those first time you launch an application, it comes up and prompts you for this or, you know, agree to that, that we can take care of as part of our installation process. So therefore, we're not going to be capturing that as part of what the person running an application every day when they go to run their application up. Every day they have to, you know, like agree to whatever license it is that we've got. Instead, we can do it all for them. And you would have to do that for all the applications that you've got. And again, looking to see what files that are going to be put into place. Okay. And we're going to have a look then to see what the files are. And I'm going to do a customize within here. With the customize, it then gives us the ability to be able to determine, like, you know, how we're going to put these things out. So therefore, we're going to be putting in, say, for instance, you know, streaming to be able to test to see how it launches up. Okay, so it's launched. And therefore, it gives us the ability to be able to, effectively test to see how things are going. I can also then determine which of my applications, like which operating systems are going to run it against. And then part of that, you know, limit where it goes to. So as an example with this one, and limit it so it's only available on Windows 8.1, 64-bit and 32-bit applications. And then I'm going to save that file. Now, ordinarily within here, like in production environment, I generally put in my description of, like, you know, like, say, for instance, who created it, what date it was, that sort of thing. And the idea being that then it gives someone a way to be able to come back and see you and say, look, this application's not working. Who created it? They know who's created it. So I normally put Corey's name in if I'm doing that. Just simply covers me, so in case something does go wrong, they blame him. Okay. So now I can then see my application, which will have been created. I'm just going this way because it's my resolution that I've got on my screen at the moment. And there you go. There's all of my resolution that's been put in. That's all my application data that's been put into place. Okay. So there's some details about what's been changed. So that's my full report. And then, as I said before, all the different sort of files that we've got available for us. And so it's as easy as that to be able to create the application. And then to be able to take that application and publish it, it's just simply a matter of then coming over to my publishing server, as we said before, and, you know, going and adding the package in. Okay. Now, what about if I wanted to have those two packages then become part of the group? Well, go to my connection group, add a connection group in. And yeah, obviously, like, you know, it's a bit of a weird combo to have Firefox and the Notepad++, but that's the example that I'm using at the moment. Okay, and then what I can do is I can then determine which packages are that are going to be available for it. So I'm going to add in my two packages. Wait for it to catch up into there. So there's my two connected packages. And then again, determine who's got access to it. Now, with regards to doing the AD, the Active Directory groups, and that's the thing that we're going to grant access, one of the things that you'll notice is if I try to actually assign this to a user, it will not allow me to do it. And the reason being because I don't actually have access, like, because we can't assign the connection package to assign connection packages or the Active Directory group or the applications themselves to an individual user. So instead I have to be able to put it to a Active Directory group. Grant access. And there we go. We've now got two different applications which have been put together, and I've now got them published so that they'll be available then to at the next refresh on the Windows, in this case, the Windows 8.1 client.
So that was sequencing an application. Kyle, thanks for taking us through it. Again, a couple of things to remember with this, obviously. Start with a clean machine.
For sure.
You don't want to sequence the machine when the application's already been installed because that creates kind of a false environment.
Yeah.
Okay. And also make sure, you know, you consider the components of the application that the user is using, because you want to make sure as you're sequencing, you touch all the stuff that the user is going to use to make sure you get the best possible, most optimized package.
Yeah, and also make sure that, like, say, for instance, if you have, you know, like that circumstance where you have add-ons that are used for every application, then sequence them all together. Like,
absolutely.
You know, if it's going to be used for every circumstance, put them all together so they're all in one package.
Now, and also worth mentioning, too, there's a lot of guidance on the internet. Folks call these things cookbooks.
Yeah, for sure.
For sequencing. So you go to just, you know, type in a random application, and someone's probably sequenced it at some stage. Mm-hmm. And you can kind of go find what they did as kind of a guide for doing it, if there's any custom registry keys or things of that nature they have to put in. So.
Yep.
With that being said, we'll wrap up this module, mm-hmm. get ready to move on to the next one, and we'll hopefully see everyone back real soon.
Yep, thank you.